from the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. The Millionaire Maker, Hillary Kramer. Travel with Valerie Delia. The Fox News Medical All-Stars featuring Dr. Mark Siegel, Dr. Marty McCary, Dr. Jeanette Nishwat, and the OG, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Legal analysis from former prosecutor and court journalism superstar Imran Ansari and Christine Nicholas. The quintessential heartbeat to New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other, united to bring back New York. Now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
Well, thank you, Lonnie Perkins, and it is turning into a very exciting end of the week for Radio Night Live. We will be, of course, with you tonight through the rest of the show with Imran Ansari breaking down this historic Supreme Court session. Lots of decisions, lots of interesting things coming out about the court, and its newest justice has been sworn in, so we'll talk about all of that coming up. And tomorrow night, for our Fun Friday, I'm going to be live from Cape May. Christine Nicholas will be live from the Hamptons. I mean, it doesn't get cooler than to be at the either end of the shore to be doing your show from. But he's here. He's back. That court journalism superstar himself, the co-host of not Law and Order, as I've said it too many times wrongly on the air, Law and Crime that you see on
there
TV and a lot of other places. Imran Ansari, welcome back. Good to have you.
Yeah, great being on, as usual, Kevin.
Now, wait, Nick just handed me this. I've got this note here. Check the voice. I don't like it when he makes me check the voicemail, but we have to check the voicemail. Hold on a second here.
I've just got one thing to say, Kev.
Okay.
Russia, Russia, Russia. Wait, that may have been three.
Yeah, might have been,
this
Mr. President.
Delaware Senator Joe Biden.
No, you're the president.
Call me back.
Hey, Kev, it's the greatest president to ever live, Donald J. Trump. You know, it's interesting because now it's all Russia this, Russia that, Russia, Russia, Russia. You know, when it wasn't Russia, 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 when they were saying it about me. Anyway, call me back.
Yeah, I'll make a priority of that, sir. Well, there you go. The voicemail. The president's weighing in tonight, or as he calls himself, the senator from Delaware. He continues to refer to his vice president as President Harris. I'm not sure exactly why he does that, but nonetheless, Imran Ansari. And that's all true, by the way. The president was in Madrid today, and he took questions from the, you know, the gaggle of correspondents, right. And he was asked about the gas prices, inflation, food, and supply chain problems. And he said one word, Russia, Russia, Russia. And then he said one word for the supply chain crisis, Russia, Russia, Russia. And I thought, wow, this is kind of an interesting day in which we live. But you know what else he did today that made news is he called for the striking down of the filibuster so that he can codify the case that, you know, the Dobbs case. He can codify supposedly Roe v. Wade into law and go around what the Supreme Court just did. So Imran Ansari, what is that called, legal jujitsu? What is the strategy he's trying to put in place?
Yeah, no, it's exactly that, Kevin. Legal jujitsu, you know, sort of chopping it away around to get Roe v. Wade codified and, you know, end the Senate filibuster. So President Joe Biden said he would support that move to end the Senate filibuster in order to get that on the books. And when I say get that on the books, it's to codify Roe v. Wade with a law in order to do so. It's really interesting, Kevin, to see all these rulings coming down from SCOTUS. I know we're going to talk about a few of them today, tonight. But the way now you have the executive branch with Joe Biden, the president, coming out and now poking into Congress and looking into ways that he can get this bill past the Senate filibuster and get Roe v. Wade into law. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see because the filibuster is sort of something that we've dealt with and is part of the legislative process in many ways. And if Joe Biden is able to get Congress to you know, push this through and you know, dance around the Senate filibuster, we may be able to see this law actually pass. But again, you sort of see all these the branches of the government here weighing in, and we'll have to see how it happens if it's successful.
You want to hear some ultimate irony? And this is going to blow everybody that listening. It's going to blow all your brains. Just hold on to your hat here. The reason that Roe v. Wade got overturned was because the Democrats originally did away with the filibuster on judicial nominations. Right?
Right.
So they do away with the filibuster on judicial nominations, and they got three Supreme Court justices with a Republican president. I mean, if they had not had those three on the court, Roe v. Wade probably wouldn't have been overturned. But it gets overturned, and his solution is to do what? Turn around and bust another filibuster. Like, this is like a bad movie playing itself out over and over again. And, you know, it's I guess it's kind of, and I'm going to speak as the, you know, the politico here. You're the attorney. But it's one thing to want to tell your constituents, I know you're disappointed and I want to do something about it. But it's another thing to just kind of announce to the country that this law that was just this ruling wasn't even a law. Roe v. Wade wasn't a law. It was a dictate that came from a case that, you know, established the precedent.
Right.
But to say to the country, and by the way, they're by a majority, they're pleased that it's gone. Now it's not because abortion became legal all of a sudden. It's just now it's a state by state. And if I live in a conservative state and I don't want abortion in my state, then I can have it that way. And if New York and California want to have, you know, abortion mills that run 24 hours a day, they can do what they want. And this is kind of like what the founders originally envisioned, letting the states decide all the stuff that wasn't the business of the federal government. And that's all this ruling did. But now, because he feels like he's got to, like, satiate that constituency, he's going to go push for the same mistake that ended up costing him the decision to begin with. That capital letter I irony tonight all over that case. And so from a legal standpoint, Imran, if they did that, and if it was a law that, let's just say, held the same tenets as Roe v. Wade, That would likely be challenged in court. I'm guessing by some of the same states that don't want Roe v. Wade in effect now. Would it lead to a similar outcome if it was, you know, coming to the same, you know, upper courts?
Yeah, no, Kevin, I mean, I would imagine so, right? Because you would have the same sort of vehicle, a case percolating its way up, challenging if Joe Biden. What he is saying, he would like to happen in terms of a law being passed to codify Roe v. Wade. And then there's subsequent challenges from conservative states as to that very law. And it percolates its way up to the Supreme Court. Then I think you're going to have a same or if not similar outcome, because I don't think the court's going to necessarily issue a ruling which is now going to be repugnant with the ruling we just
right.
received. So I think it would percolate its way up, and also in the lower courts they may be citing to the very
precedent.
Decision here as precedent, and it may die on the vine, let's just say that, in terms of its implication legally, you know.
What a lot of people don't remember is that besides the three Supreme Court justices that Trump got, he put nearly 300 justices and judges into the appellate and circuit levels. So you've got a lot of more traditionalist constitutionalist minded judges sitting on all those lower courts that would be here in that case, most likely, as it comes up anyway through it. All right, we've got a lot more to get to. Stick around. It's going to be a fun legal night. Stay here.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Every week we promise you, you're going to get a straight answer to a real-life question from the one and only Mike Connors. And Mike, this week's question comes from Bobby from Queens. Bobby writes, I am a widow, and I want to leave everything to my only son. He's in a rocky marriage, and I want to make sure his wife gets nothing from me. How can I make sure of this? Thanks. Bobby from Queens. Mike Connors.
All right. Well, the problem's not that great. We put the assets in a trust, and it goes from the child to the grandchildren. a lot of different what ifs. Who's going to be the trustee if something happens to the son? It's a solvable problem. It's just what options are available, and we talk it over, and we should be able to come up with a good plan.
You know, sadly, these types of situations do occur in which you don't necessarily want someone getting something. But let me ask you, Mike, generally speaking, is it ideal to have even some minor conflicts worked through so that ultimately, you know, a situation can be resolved with less acrimony than this particular situation, per se?
Yeah, in this case, maybe you name somebody else to be the trustee, and the son can say, hey, I don't have any control of it. My cousin has control, or my brother, or whatever. You know, this is an only child case, though. But there are a lot of different ways to go, and but there is a solution. We put it in trust, so it doesn't go straight to the estate of the son, that it goes to the grandchildren.
And friends, if you want to, maybe you have a similar situation. And again, you know, each one of these has a lot of nuance to them. And that's what makes Connors and Sullivan so great. They understand exactly how to construct it for you. 718-238-6500. Call them today, 718-238-6500. And send your questions to AskMikeConnors@gmail.com. And then be listening as he answers on his own show, 8 a.m. Saturday mornings on AM 570 and 102.3 FM The Mission, WMCA. And Sunday mornings starting at 11 on AM 970. The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year will not last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop the My Slippers. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. Remember, for a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. Order now. 800-651-0798. 800-651-0798. Use the promo code AM970 or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code AM970.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Mike Gallagher sees things stacking up.
Remember what they said when the new election law went into place in Georgia? It suppresses the vote. That's what Biden and the Democrats kept screaming. Well, apparently not. It is falling apart, and they are headed for a massive reckoning.
The Mike Gallagher Show. Weekdays at 10 on AM 970. The Answer. We aren't mainstream news. We are the truth. AM 970. The Answer. And now, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, in a segment or two, we've got the seedy side of Legal Night. We'll talk about people being sentenced for decades of years for sex trafficking and sex abuse, the seedy side of Legal Night. We'll be doing that coming up in a little bit. You like the branding, Imran? We're going to start doing branded segments, the seedy side, you know, the untoward stuff that we don't want to, you know, talk about.
Salacious.
But let's stay on the Supreme Court for a little bit. There were a whole bunch of cases handed down after Roe that are not as well known. They're certainly not as high profile as like the gun case for New York. New York and Roe kind of stole all the spotlight. But today you had a ruling against the EPA, which I think conservatives probably liked. You had a ruling in favor of the president, which I think the president probably liked. Give us a little scorecard on what came down.
Yeah, no, this was a big ruling, the one dealing with the EPA and the authority of that agency to regulate specifically, greenhouse gas emissions and the energy industry, if you will. The Supreme Court basically took that power in many ways out of the hands of the EPA. And you got to look at the history, Kevin, of how these agencies came about. Like, a lot of these agencies have their genesis in the New Deal era under Roosevelt, and where there was this sort of trend to have these agencies set up in order to regulate industry and sort of set certain standards and regulations. Now we're moving away from that with this ruling. It's basically taken the power out of the EPA's hands to set the standards of climate, changing regulations for power plants and energy. And it was a 6-3 ruling, Kevin, where the court basically said that it's the Congress's role, not the EPA as an agency, in order to regulate this industry, right? Power, energy, power plants, and the way they conduct their business, so to say, that results into those greenhouse gas emissions. So EPA have been curtailed. We may see this now leading, Kevin, to other agencies having their sort of authority scaled back by this decision, saying that it is more the legislative branch and not an executive agency in terms of regulating, certain areas of industry and commerce.
I could see that line of philosophy that you just laid out being applied, like you said, to a lot of other agencies across the board, where the founders kind of did put all of the regulatory control into the hands of the Congress because they're the representatives of you and me, not these unelected branches of the executive branch that have been set up, in kind of this fashion. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Give me respond to that if you want to, or give me a little bit more on what Biden won with today. The Remain in Mexico policy was a win for the administration.
Correct. Yeah. So this was a notch in the belt of the Biden administration in terms of this ruling coming down from SCOTUS. And there was a Trump era immigration policy it was known commonly as the Remain in Mexico policy. Formally, it was known as the Migrant Protection Protocols. And essentially, someone seeking asylum coming up from the southern border, rather than being allowed in to the United States to have their asylum case heard and coming across the border and remaining in the United States while that determination was being made, the Trump administration had this law where they would have to remain in Mexico, right? So it was a southern border. I think the majority of these asylum seekers were coming from Nicaragua. And now the Biden administration, they scrapped that law, I think on day one of his administration coming into power. And that was challenged. It was challenged from border states up through SCOTUS. And SCOTUS gave Joe Biden and his administration a win. They said that there can be almost like an option. They can come into the United States while they have their asylum case heard, or they could remain in Mexico. So now Joe Biden's basically his policy of doing away with the Trump administration's policy has been upheld by the court.
There's a couple of other cases. What's this case involving what state lawmakers can do when it comes to elections?
Yeah, so there is this is a case that is going to be heard by the Supreme Court. Essentially, there is a case coming out of North Carolina. It's Moore v. Harper. It's a case that was brought by North Carolina's Republican State House Speaker challenging the North Carolina state court's decision to throw out a congressional map, basically a legislature's congressional map. The Supreme Court in North Carolina threw that law out, said it was illegal gerrymandering. However, now it's being challenged basically under the independent state legislature theory, Kevin, which is that the state court in North Carolina does not have the authority to really get into the election maps being drawn, and it is solely in the hands of the state legislature there. So we expect that this is going to be heard by the Supreme Court, this challenge, and we'll see. Listen, this is a conservative-backed challenge to that state court decision, and we have a conservative bench, so I would not be surprised if we hear from the Supreme Court when they decide this case that they're going to say that it is not the state court's position to dive into election maps and congressional districts or state districts. And it is solely in the state court, state legislature's power to do so.
Gotcha. That's some interesting stuff. Well, there's other Supreme Court news that we're going to get to, and a very historic moment took place as well, as the newest justice has been sworn in. But we got to take a break, pay some bills, you know, all the normal stuff. And then when we come back, the seedy side of Legal Night, the salacious sentencing. I sound like that guy from Saturday Night Live from all those years ago. The salacious sentencing portion of our broadcast. R. Kelly and Ghislaine Maxwell both getting decades in prison. Was it the right call? I'll ask Imran Ansari, our legal superstar, when we come back. It's Radio Night Live. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, right now, it's the perfect time to try Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. We've got changing weather, cold one day, warm the next. You know, that's a recipe for bronchitis, for nasal infections, for sinus infections, etc. But this is why you should be on Balance of Nature, because they're not like ordinary vitamins made with synthetics. No, they are natural food in a vegetarian capsule with tens of thousands of vital nutrients that will help you fight off those nasty colds. Each capsule has 10 servings of 31 fruits and vegetables, and now you can give the gift of health through an annual subscription of Balance of Nature to your friends or family. Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of fruits and veggies when you call now. Good health is only a phone call away for those you love. So call Balance of Nature, 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code THEANSWER.
Attention homeowners. If you have a mortgage with Bank of America, Chase, Citibank, or any other major servicer, then you must pay attention. Regulators have reached a multi-million dollar settlement over foreclosure abuse claims. Your mortgage may be satisfied already. If not, you may be eligible for a principal reduction or a rate reduction as low as 2%. Call 1-800-731-6469. If you've been denied for a loan modification, harassed by your bank, stuck in document and voicemail hell, stop the madness and stay in your home. Barney Giannone, attorney at law, can help. Call 1-800-731-6469. Are you facing foreclosure? Received a summons or complaint behind on your mortgage? Call Barney Giannone. Foreclosure defense, mortgage modifications, and we will appear in court to defend your rights. Get help now and get protected.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at am970theanswer.com.
You can't sleep, you can't eat. There's no doubt you're in deep.
Radio Night Live from New York. Here's Kevin McCullough.
No, Nick, I'm not going to check the voicemail again. I'm done with the president. They can stop calling me. We're just done with that. Anyway, welcome back. It's Radio Night Live. We have officially entered the salacious zone. There were a couple of celebrity, actually sex abuse cases that got highlighted this week. And there's been sentencing process in both of these. And Imran Ansari rejoins us. Now, Ghislaine Maxwell, that trial was just, I mean, that just concluded just, you know, a few weeks ago. We talked about it kind of, you know, the night that it did. I thought the R. Kelly case was done months ago, Imran. Am I wrong, or did that just come down as well? I it seems like he's been in court forever trying to defend himself on these charges.
Well, yeah, no, well, Kevin, R. Kelly has a slew of legal problems, right? He has multiple cases. So he was just sentenced to 30 long years in prison from the, you know, one of his cases. But he still faces more legal battles. This was the federal case in Brooklyn that was pending in the Eastern District of New York. He still has a case, I believe, in Chicago. But 30 long years for R. Kelly, I don't think R. Kelly is going to see the light of day, at least from, you know, outside the bars of prison anytime soon. So that was a big sentencing. Also, Ghislaine Maxwell was sentenced to 20 years for the conviction of her alleged role in the, you know, Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking allegations.
So let me ask you a question about sex cases in particular, because this is interesting. It seems like we would want to, as a society, for the welfare of society, be pretty hard on actual sex offenders, particularly if they involve children and they, you know, hurt innocent people in that regard. What is the, if you were to put it on a scale and say, you know, serial killer, murderer, far one end of the spectrum, and shoplifter on the other, and the kind of weight at which sentencing is given out, where does sex abuse fall in the kind of pantheon of what sentencing looks like?
Yeah, Kevin, closer, you know, obviously not as severe as homicide, but it's pretty up there on the scale of sentencing, especially when dealing with allegations of sex trafficking or convictions of sex trafficking, and particularly so when it deals with a minor. And it's not only shocking the conscience of, you know, those who are in the judicial, a judge on the bench or attorneys or prosecutors. It shocks the conscience of the public, right? And once there's a conviction and it is a real conviction of a defendant for sex trafficking, when it deals with minors, you expect you're going to get a high sentence here.
Well, and how often, so just educate us a little bit, when a sentence is imposed, is it ever revisited?
Of course, if it could be revisited on appeal, right? You know, that like there's the judicial or legal process of appealing a sentence if it seems to be overly harsh and outside, you know, what should be legally imposed. But then it could also be if there is a chance of parole, that could be a mechanism in which someone's sentence can be revisited, and then they could be eligible or deemed eligible for parole at a certain amount of time after they served a certain amount of time. But so you look at appeal as one mechanism for a sentence to possibly be overturned based on if it's excessive and, you know, unduly harsh and outside the parameters that the law provides. And then also the mechanism of parole. Someone may be released early rather than the full sentence that they are sentenced to.
So when you say R. Kelly is probably never going to see a day in his life, it's not because his sentence would likely be reduced. It's because he's going to have cases upon cases laying years on top of each other.
Yeah, I don't see R. Kelly's sentence being reduced legally, right? Like, let's say on an appeal. I think it was a well-thought-out sentence by that judge. And then again, like I was mentioning, Kevin, he has other legal woes, right? He's facing other criminal charges in state court in Illinois and also in Minnesota, I believe. So, wow. You know, he's got a slew of legal troubles, and I don't see him being released anytime soon, whether it be on the sentence he just got imposed in federal court or any conditions of release or incarceration based on those state court cases.
All right. Well, that concludes the seedy side of Legal Night. All the icky stuff that she didn't want to talk about, we have now covered. But when we come back, more SCOTUS. Because believe it or not, there are some still historic things that they're doing. And one of them involves prosecution and what courts can do in a particular state. And then we had a moment of history that also took place. We'll highlight both of those things when we come back. It's Radio Night Live.
There's nothing like hearing the songs you love on local radio with no subscriptions and no monthly fees. But there's a new bill in Congress that could stop the music. If passed, this bill would tax your local radio station simply to play the music you love. Text LOCAL to 52886 and ask Congress to support local radio stations. Help us keep you connected to the music, local news, weather, and traffic that you need each day. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Real estate is hot. Condos, co-ops, single and multifamily homes, as well as business properties. And there's never been a better time to know what forces are driving the real estate market. Knowledge is power. AM 970 The Answer is proud to present Eye on Real Estate with Dottie Herman, your premier source for real estate information. From the heart of New York City and the tri-state area to the most active real estate hotspots across America, keeping you plugged in to the latest real estate market trends, from mortgage news and legal developments to everything you need to know about buying or selling a property. Benefited by the advice of the experts and guided by its host, one of the most knowledgeable voices in the industry, Douglas Elliman's vice chair, the world-famous Dottie Herman. If you're thinking about buying or selling a property or both, tune in to Eye on Real Estate with Dottie Herman, sponsored by Citizens Bank on AM 970 The Answer.
Spring means new beginnings and growth. So let's get your business's seeds planted with Salem Surround. Let us help your website bring you the leads your business needs to thrive. Let's make sure people find you faster and easier on the web. Our amazing team of media strategists are here to serve you with boots on the ground and real-world expertise. We live right here and know the communities you're trying to reach. We're media strategists, and we're very, very good at what we do. So let's grow together.
Visit Salem Surround New York.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Dennis Prager is not a fan.
You know, I've never called a president a bad name in my 40 years of broadcasting. We have a thug for a president. He's always been a thug. He's the most corrupt president in American history. He's the most dishonest. There has never been a president who so divided his people as Joe Biden.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
New Jersey is currently participating in a governor's challenge, asking state military and civilian teams to embark on a process of collaborating, planning, and implementing suicide prevention best practices for service members, veterans, and their families statewide. Effective suicide prevention takes a combination of efforts to achieve far-reaching statewide changes and improvements. Stay tuned for future announcements on three priority areas that the New Jersey team is working on, and learn more about what you can do to help prevent suicide among service members, veterans, and their families. If you or someone you know is in emotional distress and or thinking about suicide, please call the confidential National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. This message is sponsored by the New Jersey Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services, the New Jersey Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, the New Jersey Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Our hosts tell it like it is. No safe spaces here. AM 970, The Answer. And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live, here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. And if you ever miss any part of Legal Night, you make sure you go get the podcast. It's at Kevin McCullough Radio, anywhere you can get podcasts. Go to Spotify, Amazon, Apple, Audible, iHeart, TuneIn, SoundCloud, you name it, Stitcher. I don't know all of the ones that are out there, but I know that we're there everywhere. And more of you are either re-listening or catching up on stuff that you missed, or listening on your own time, and that's greatly appreciated. Imran Ansari is my guest on Thursdays. We break down the legal things. By the way, coming up in the next segment, he's going to give us some Esquire etiquette for our holiday weekend. So we'll be hanging on to hear what Imran encourages us to do to be smarter. Real quickly, Imran, this other big story from this week, and there's not really a legal connection to it as of yet, but there's going to be one. That tractor trailer disaster that took place with all the migrants that died in the back of it. These guys that were driving the truck, if they aren't American citizens, who prosecutes them?
Well, they could be prosecuted even if they're not American citizens, Kevin. You know, they could be prosecuted the same way as a citizen can. So if they've committed crimes on the soil of the United States, they could be prosecuted either for state-level
charges.
Crimes,
yeah.
Right, or also federally. So it doesn't matter whether they be a citizen or not. They may be... there may be also a deportation sort of proceeding that is initiated, but that would wait or be concurrent with the criminal proceeding, and they would have to serve their time here in the United States. So they,
all right.
If they're sentenced to a certain amount of prison, they're going to serve their time here in the States.
Well, the latest on that is that the death toll continues to go up. Those human beings were literally in a boiler. It was just so hot in the back of that truck, and what a horrific, tragic outcome. And I think a lot of it points back to the president's policies, but that's my opinion. Imran didn't say that. That was Kevin. Let's talk about this prosecutorial power case that the Supreme Court decided today. They're giving a state a certain type of prosecution power. What are they doing?
Yes. So the Supreme Court, in one of the many rulings that we have received in the last 2 weeks that are incredibly fascinating, if not controversial, this one basically gives the states the ability to prosecute non-tribal members who commit crimes on Indian reservations, so Native American reservations. So it gives the power that if there is a crime that is committed on Native American soil, if you will, and on a reservation, the state can still prosecute them. And it doesn't have to be sort of relegated to, say, a tribal court or something like that, which really now has recognized that the federal government and the state have jurisdiction on Native American soil to prosecute, which is important, non-Native Americans. And why is this is important in the light of Roe v. Wade being overturned? Well, there was a concern that Native American reservations would become sort of an area where people could get abortions, even in states which have deemed it illegal. But this also allows the states to have the power to prosecute someone who is breaking the law on Native American soil if they are not a Native American.
Before this case, would that have had to have gone to a tribal court, even if it was a non-tribe member that committed the offense?
So it was before this, there were limitations on how a state or the federal government could prosecute an individual when it was occurring on Native American reservation soil. So this allows the power to go back to those prosecutorial bodies, and it does not relegate it to, let's just say, a tribal court.
Gotcha. All right. Ketanji Brown Jackson sworn in today as the newest Supreme Court justice. Justice Breyer is moving on to his next stop in life. And everybody, by all measure, he seems to want to still be active and involved. What type of importance do you put on this, and what type of influence do you think she'll bring to the court?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously she is a liberal justice, so she's going to be taking the seat of Breyer, of Justice Breyer, but, you know, it's really not going to change the sort of dynamic of the court. She's not adding a liberal seat, if you will, to the bench. She's just filling one. But it is historic. It's, the first female African-American to be sitting on the Supreme Court. I always like when there's diversity in our justice system, because our country is a diverse country. And, you know, it just the Supreme Court and its bench reflecting that sort of fabric of America, I think, is important. But again, when it comes down to how these decisions are going to be coming out of the Supreme Court, it doesn't change the balance of power, if you will, in terms of the conservative versus liberal bench. Right. But it is historic. Anytime a new justice takes the seat, no matter who they are, gender or race, is a historic occasion. So we welcome the new justice to the bench and hope that she can do the work without having any intimidation like we've seen recently, let's just say, with Justice Kavanaugh, right? Yeah. So, welcome to the bench.
Well, it's also nice to see the Democratic administrations and the liberal left side of the bench finally kind of catch up to the number of African Americans that conservatives had on the bench. So it's kind of nice. You know, they talk a lot about diversity. It's nice to see them practicing it as well a little bit. Okay, I'm having a little bit of fun, but I have to ask you this, Imran, because I'm not sure how you feel qualified to say this. Famously, in her her hearings, she was asked if she could define what a woman was, and you said she was a woman,
And I'm not certain that we have an answer to that question. So I'm just, you know, who made you the gender identity king here at Radio Night Live? Did you have some sort of additional certification that the Supreme Court justice doesn't have?
I guess so, Kevin. I think I like to call it, you know, as it is.
There was this really weird post on Instagram today of a missing poster, but it was labeled as a missing woman. But the dude had a full-on goatee and facial beard from side to side. So I don't know if they just misprinted, like, missing person, missing woman, missing man. Or if this was someone identifying as certain whatever.
Well Kevin, we know one thing that it's a gender neutral prefix if you're a judge, right? Your honor or judge.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, so I learned that today, and earlier in the week I learned I don't have a uterus. Stay with us, coming right back.
Numbers mean much to me because of prostate cancer. I'm Johnny Braggs, the number two. For my stepfather, who died of prostate cancer, and my uncle, who suffered so much after prostate cancer surgery. The number 15. 15 years since Dr. Lederman's successful treatment of my prostate cancer. The number 0, which is my PSA. 0, after Dr. Lederman's successful prostate cancer treatment. What every man wants. The numbers 1, 2, 3, 4. Important for every man with prostate cancer. 1, getting the most successful treatment. 2, avoiding radical robotic surgery. 3, keeping sexual function. 4, maintaining urinary control. Call my Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES, to consider his prostate cancer treatment for you. Most insurances, Medicare, Medicaid accepted. 1384 Broadway at 38th. Call 212-CHOICES for prostate cancer treatment. Call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES. I'm glad I did. You'll be number one with Dr. Lederman.
Before Bamboo HR, I feel like crying just thinking about it.
We were still handling everything via paper, and we literally had paper stacked.
It was all in spreadsheets and like folders.
From the moment I started using it, I felt calmer.
As soon as we started using the Bamboo like onboarding checklist, I mean, it was extremely easy.
Headcount, turnover, years of service, like there's just so many different reports that I use at different points in time.
I'm like totally set free to focus on the people, to focus on development, to focus on team dynamics.
It's freeing me up to do more of the stuff that actually matters in HR, which is interacting with people, learning from them, and then building stuff for them.
Everything is in this one place. I can't even imagine what it would be like without Bamboo HR.
We're Bamboo HR, and we'd love to set you free to do great work. Come try our award-winning all-in-one HR software for free with no strings attached. Visit BambooHR.com/HR for this free trial offer. That's BambooHR.com/HR.
Hey, I just spoke to my buddy Alex Kinsella at Route 22 Toyota, and he told me that anyone looking to beat these ridiculous gas prices should get over to see them at Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey. That's because they've got one of the area's largest inventories of new Toyota vehicles, including the most fuel-efficient vehicles, like the 39-mile-per-gallon Toyota Camry, the 41-mile-per-gallon RAV4 Hybrid, or the one that started it all, Toyota Prius, which gets a combined 56 miles per gallon. No need to remortgage your house just to fill up the tank. Call Route 22 Toyota at 973-705-8905. Let them show you which fuel-efficient Toyota is right for you. Plus, they're making it easier than ever to get out of your gas guzzler by offering 125% of book value on your trade. That's right, any make, any model. 973-705-8905. Schedule an appointment at Route 22 Toyota. They'll give you 125% book value towards a fuel-efficient Toyota. And remember, tell them Joe Piscopo sent you.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Brandon Tatum is next on AM970, The Answer. Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
I'm not blaming Russia. I'm just not going to do it. It's not Russia's fault. Inflation, whatever. You blame a whole bunch of things, but I don't think Russia has anything to do with it. Anyway, Imran Ansari, welcome back. It's a legal night, and it is that time in the week on this, heading into the holiday weekend, when Imran has carefully prepared his Esquire etiquette so that we can be better citizens. Professor Ansari.
Yeah. So this week's Esquire etiquette is about wage and hour and how you get paid. So let's just say you are getting your paycheck, it's very important that you look at how you are getting paid and that you are being paid for the hours when you are a, let's just say, a wage and hour employee. You're entitled to overtime. You're entitled to certain, amounts of payment. So the Esquire etiquette of this week is that pay attention to how your employer is paying you. Look at your paycheck. Make sure you're getting paid for the overtime that you may be entitled to if you are that sort of employee. And if you find that you are being shortchanged, so to say, by your employer, well, there's legal ways to challenge that. And you should speak to an employment attorney and make sure that you are being paid what you're owed for your hard work.
Well, and this goes into something I was having a discussion with another attorney earlier today off air. And that is that a lot of people that get hired don't really know anything about self-protection when they go into the employment process. And so, you know, reading your contract, making sure you understand all the terms in your contract, and if you don't understand them or if you have questions about them, talking to an attorney who's only invested in your, you know, side of the issue, that's a good standard practice to go through, because once you're hired and you've agreed to it, it's kind of like tough bananas at that point, right?
Yeah, no, in many ways. And that's why it's important. You gotta always assume the worst, right? If you're being presented a contract, an employment agreement, your potential employer most likely, right, is going to be looking to have a draft agreement which is going to be most beneficial to them. So which is why you have to have an attorney of your own review that and make sure that before you put pen to paper, your rights are being protected and you're not getting a bum deal.
But specifically, Imran's advice is if you're having some doubts about the amount in your paycheck, then take a look at it. Make sure you're getting what you're owed according to the agreement that you signed. Imran Ansari, have a blessed fourth with your family. Any big plans for the holiday?
You know what, Kevin? I am, I would love to be saying I'm going to be hanging out on the beach, barbecuing and celebrating our great country's birth. But I have a trial coming up and I got to, we're talking about pen to paper. I got to put pen to paper in terms of what I'm doing with this trial. I'm going to be preparing for trial even on my birthday, Kevin, which is July 3rd, one day before the birth of our nation. Yeah. So I'm going to be working fourth for me.
Okay. Well, hang in there and happy fourth to you anyway. Yes, please remember what a great country we live in. And part of the reason it is because we have the fairest laws and justice system on the planet. Kevin McCullough, Imran Ansari saying so long. Tomorrow night, a very special 4th of July Fun Friday edition of Radio Night Live. We will see you then.